message is presented to you by Victory Christian Center in Farmer City, Illinois. For more information, contact us at www.bccfarmercity.org.
We started talking last week about a particular subject, and so Pastor Brian has been gracious enough to let me continue on this week. I didn't get called in the office and said, "Yeah, you're not preaching next week," so that's a good thing, right? Last week we started talking about this subject that I'm calling the big deal. I call it the big deal because I think God thinks it's a big deal. I think that people sometimes don't think it's a very big deal. But I think that God thinks it's a big deal. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the subject of gossip. And a lot of people, when they hear that word, you know, go, "Whoa, that's not me. I'm not guilty of gossip." I got news for you. Yes, you are. Want to know why? Because you walk on this planet. I think we're all guilty of gossip at some point in our lives. So we're going to see what God says about gossip. We were looking through the Bible to see what God says. And we found that the word gossip, just a little bit of review here, we found that the word gossip appears in the King James Bible exactly zero times. Nothing, not once does it say the word gossip. Well, we found out that that was because the King James Bible was printed, originally published in 1611, was it? 1611. And the word gossip, the way we use it today, really didn't come about until almost 100 years later. So the word gossip didn't apply to things, so when the King James Bible was translated, they used other words. And so we were going through just seeing what words the King James used, but we were using as our reference the Amplified Bible. I like the Amplified Bible. I'm going to come over here a little bit. I like the Amplified Bible because it's amplified. It's like an amplifier. We have a couple of amplifiers on the stage. What does it do? When you plug something into it, it makes it louder. That's kind of what the Amplified Bible does. It makes it louder, makes it easier to understand, explains it a little bit better. So I like the Amplified, and it's a more modern translation, more contemporary, so it uses the word gossip, whereas the King James doesn't necessarily. We discovered last week that there are 9 occurrences of the word gossip in the Old Testament, Amplified, 6 occurrences in the New Testament, and we started going through one by one and exploring each of these words in the Old Testament, and we didn't get to the New Testament yet. We're going to get to that today. Just exploring each of these words and finding out, what does it mean to gossip? What does it mean to be a gossip? Because that's not something we want to do. The 5 Hebrew words that we covered are the words rekil, halak, nirgan, shana, avin. And for all you Hebrew scholars, I'm not even pronouncing these right, I'm sure. So the Greek words are, and these are worse, these are harder. The Greek words are sithristes, sithrismos, phleros, and diabolos. Whew. That was rough. We got to 4 words last week. We talked about rekil, avin, halak, and nirgan. Rekil means slanderer, talebearer, informer, a scandal monger. And if you remember, we talked about that word informer being kind of like the snitch in all those old detective movies that we saw back in the late 70s, early 80s. He's a snitch. Nobody likes him because he tells about everything. The word avin means trouble, iniquity, sorrow, idolatry, and wickedness. We don't want to deal with wickedness, do we? The word halak means to go. I like to put that into it because it's Hebrew. I don't know if that's right. Halak. Means to go, walk about, carry, be conversant, to walk within this lifestyle, to practice perverseness of speech. Perverseness of speech. We often identify perverseness of speech with like something dirty. It doesn't necessarily mean that. To pervert something means to change it, to twist it, to change it up, to make it mean something that it doesn't mean any, that it wasn't originally meaning. It means to walk according to the counsel of the wicked. I don't know about you, but I don't want that to be me. And then finally the word nirgan, which means murmurer, backbiter, or slanderer. So let's continue today with our study on this word gossip. I'm going to start in Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. It says, "He who covers and forgives an offense seeks love, but he who repeats or gossips about a matter separates intimate friends." And we saw several times last week how sometimes in God's Word, He provides opposite ends of the scale, two sides of the coin. And here we see again these opposing sides. He who forgives does what? Seeks love. He who gossips, apparently, does not. We want to be a people of love, right? It even says that He separates intimate friends. Well, that word, those words intimate friends, to me, what does that mean? That means like best friends. Can I use the word besties or BFF? I'm looking at my daughter. Can I say BFF? Yeah. The gossip can even separate people who are best friends. Now, sometimes that might be two best friends, and one of them goes off and gossips about the other. That'll separate friends, won't it? Sometimes it could be a third party involved. Some people are like best friends, and we hear that some gossip comes up and says, well, I know he's your best friend, but man, did you hear what he did? Check this out. He said this about you. And all of a sudden, he ain't my friend anymore. Gossips can separate even the closest best friends. The King James translates this as the word repeateth. What does a gossiper do? Well, they run around repeating things. Now, some people might say, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that he lies. He's just the reporter, right? He's repeating what he's told, or what he was told. He's repeating what he has heard, right? Hey, don't shoot the messenger, right? I'm just repeating it. I'm just telling you the facts, you know? Well, let's see what this word means. This word is the Hebrew word shana. Again, I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it correctly. It literally means repeat, change, oh my, alter, disguise, pervert. There's that word, pervert again. Pervert, to do a second time, to revive unpleasant things that should be forgotten, to take one side or sometimes another side. Now notice this definition does have the word repeat in it, but it also says to change, to alter, or to pervert. How many of you guys, when you were kids, ever played the game telephone? I see a lot of hands. Okay, so good. We know what telephone is. For those of you who don't, telephone, you get, say, I don't know, like a dozen kids, all right? And the first kid whispers in the ear of the second kid a story or a phrase or something like that. And then the second kid whispers it to the third kid. And then the third kid whispers it to the, you know, all the way down the line. And then when you get down to, you know, say 10 or 12 kids, the last kid repeats what he was told. And we compare it to the first one and find out how accurate it is. And it's always changed. And it becomes funny because it's a game. But you know, when gossip's involved, it's not funny. We think we're just repeating, but according to this scripture, if we're just repeating, it's inevitable we're going to change the story. Sometimes we do it on purpose. Sometimes we go, I'd be funnier if I throw this in. Sometimes we don't do it on purpose. It's just inevitable. If you're somebody who repeats things over and over again, you're going to change it. You're going to change it. Now, also God says these are unpleasant things that should be forgotten. Now, if you know anything about our Father, you know what He does with sin. When you confess your sin before Him, the Bible says that He throws your sin into the sea of forgetfulness, I can't get it right, and remembers it no more. Why is that? Is it because God is really old, He's like ancient, and He's senile? No. It's because God chooses to forget. And likewise, we should choose to forget some unpleasant things too, rather than continue to repeat them over and over again. It's like a wound that begins to heal. You know, if you have a wound that begins to heal and starts to scab over, how many of you go, oh, no, I'll just rip that thing open again. We don't do that. So why should we do that in terms of gossip? We shouldn't. God says that we should choose to forget those things, those unpleasant things that should be forgotten. This is not somebody we want to be. Proverbs chapter 18. I spent a lot of time in Proverbs. It's a lot. Proverbs has to say about this in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 8 says, the words of a whisperer, gossip, are like dainty morsels to be greedily eaten. They go down to the innermost chambers of the body to be remembered and used upon. This is some pretty graphic stuff here, isn't it? the words of a whisperer, gossip, are like dainty morsels. What do you think of when you think of a dainty morsel? I think of something small, something cute, you know, something really small. And then the very next words are not, we daintily take it, like a teacup, we put it in our mouth and savor it. That's not the next words. The next words are, it's greedily eaten. Gosh, that sounds barbaric, doesn't it? It kind of reminds me of, you know, stories I've heard about people who spend any time in prison. And they've got to kind of guard their food. They stand there and look around, make sure that the prison bully's not taking their food. And even though it's a dainty morsel, like, yeah, eat it greedily. Just eat it fast. It sounds kind of barbaric. It's kind of like an animal who's, you know, killed its prey. And you got to, it looks around to make sure that there aren't other animals coming to try to steal it. Steal its prey from it. It's got to eat it. And the very next thing is it says it goes down to the innermost chambers of the body. Where are the innermost chambers of the body? The bowels. Eating it greedily. And it goes down to the innermost chamber of the body to be remembered and mused upon. In other words, if you want to enjoy that again a second time, what do you have to do with it? You got to bring it back up. Now, how gross is that? It says that it's a dainty morsel that you greedily eaten, goes down to the innermost chambers of the body, brought back up again, and enjoyed a second time? That's disgusting, isn't it? Well, guess what? That's how God sees gossip. It's disgusting to him. It's just ick. The King James uses the word talebearer. Again, this is the word nirgan we covered last week. It means murmurer, backbiter, or slanderer. This is not somebody we want to be. Keep going in Proverbs to chapter 20, verse 19. He who goes about as a gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip who talks freely or flatters. Again, this is the King James word talebearer, the Hebrew word rakil. It means slanderer, talebearer, informer, a scandalmonger. Now here's something. Here's a command that goes along with what we're talking about. He who goes about as a gossip reveals secrets. What's a secret? It's something you shouldn't be told. But he reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with this person. If you know somebody who is a habitual gossip, somebody who gossips a lot, God says, don't even associate with them. Why is it a good idea not to associate with them? Well, if you study the Word of God, you'll find out that you become like who you hang out with. That's just a fact. You don't want to be that person, so don't hang out with that person, right? But also, if you're hanging out with somebody who gossips a lot, what's everybody else who observes that think? You're just like them. You hang out with that gossip, I'm sure that they're gossiping too, right? God says, don't even associate with these people. Don't hang out with them. Don't be around them. You know what? You're protecting yourself. You're guarding your own heart if you don't hang out with somebody like that. Because if you hear that stuff, what is the temptation when you hear gossip? The temptation is to go tell somebody. That's the temptation, to become like that, to start gossiping as well. I hear something juicy about somebody. What's my temptation? To run over here and tell you about it. You're not going to believe what I heard. But if somebody starts to talk like that, what should we do? We should say, that's okay, I don't want to know, and walk away. Don't even associate with them. Keep reading. It says that the gossip talks freely and flatters. What does that mean? What does it mean to talk freely? That means there are no boundaries. There are no boundaries. We talked about boundaries recently. There are no boundaries. There are no rules, no holds barred. The person who likes to gossip will talk about anything. Nothing is forbidden. They can talk about whatever they want. They can talk about you. They can talk about your kids. They can talk about your parents. They can talk about your sex life. They can talk about anything that they want to talk about because there are no rules. And it says that the person who gossips talks freely and flatters. This is an identifier. This is an indicator here. Somebody who gossips a lot many times is somebody who flatters a lot. Why? What do? Because they run over to this person over here. They say, I think you're a great person. You know, I don't know what anybody else says, but I like you. You're awesome. You're really nice. You're a great person. Then I'm going to run over here and go, that guy is an idiot. I can't stand him. Again, that's playing the two sides of the coin. But they flatter on purpose to do what? What does flattery gain them? Flattery is a form of manipulation. I don't know about you, but that's not somebody I want to be. When somebody runs to one person and says that, and then runs to the other person and says the opposite, what do we call that in our society? Being two-faced. Not somebody that we want to be. Not somebody we want to be. Keep going in Proverbs. We're going to go to chapter 26 and verse number 20. Proverbs 26, 20. I'm guilty of the same thing the pastor does when he just starts reading a scripture and doesn't let you turn to it, so I'm going to try to pause for a minute. Proverbs 26:20 says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer who gossips, contention quiets down." This is actually a great picture. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. Do you remember the experiments that we did in science class in grade school, where the teacher would bring out a candle, light a candle, let you see it, and then somebody gets to take a glass and puts the glass over the candle, and somehow, mysteriously, the flame goes out. Well, if I understand science, I'm not sure that I do, if I understand science, fire needs a few things in order to exist. One of those things is oxygen. So it's really not mysterious at all. It's not magical. You put the glass over the candle, and you're cutting off the oxygen, and the flame goes out. Now, this scripture says no wood, no fire. That's another thing that a fire needs. It needs some sort of fuel, right? Like wood. But if you take away the fuel, the fire can't burn. No oxygen, no fire. No wood, no fire. No gossip, no contention. That word contention has in its definition the word strife. We talked about that last week. We don't put up with strife. No gossip, no contention, no strife, no quarreling, no fighting, no controversy, no altercation, no problems. The very next verse, that was verse 20. If we look at verse 21 in the Message paraphrase, the Message Bible says it this way: a quarrelsome person in a dispute is like kerosene thrown on a fire. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if there's a fire nearby and it's an emergency and I got to find something to throw on it, I'm not choosing kerosene. That seems like that would be a mistake. You know, one time, a long time ago, I was learning how to cook. What are you laughing at? I didn't know much how to cook, but we were roommates. Brian and I were roommates, right? Yeah. I was trying to fry some potatoes. What do you use to fry potatoes? Well, put a little bit of oil in the pan, right? Not being the brightest cook in the world, I put some oil in the pan, I put a lid on it, turn that sucker on to high because I want to fry them good. What? The whole room just went, oh, that's a bad idea, Luke. So I'm thinking to myself, I'll get my potatoes nice and crispy. It'd be like French fries or something. So what did I do? I went to put the potatoes in. I took the lid off. Remember what we talked about fire needs to exist? It needs fuel. It already had the oil. And when I opened that lid up, all of a sudden, oxygen, it went like a big fireball. Being the studly, manly man that I am, I went, like that. My awesome roommate over here sees that, starts to run over towards me as I think I'm putting the lid back on to snuff out this fire. I put the lid back on, and of course there's smoke everywhere. I reach over the pan to turn on the exhaust fan, and as soon as I did, he grabs the lid and pulls it off, and my arm is consumed in this big fireball. He worked as a fire watch out at the power plant too. Actually, what he's doing is he's grabbing flour to throw on there because you don't use water on a grease fire. So, there you go. All that to say, I'm not throwing kerosene on a fire to put it out. But this scripture says that's what happens when you introduce a gossip to the situation. You take away the gossip, the fire goes out. You put the gossip back in, it's like kerosene. Boom! Explosion of problems, of fighting, of strife. This is the King James word, talebearer. Again, the word nirgan, murmurer, backbiter, slanderer. This isn't somebody we want to be. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 26. We're kind of making our way through Proverbs here. Chapter 26 and verse 22 says, "The words of a whisperer, gossip, are like dainty morsels to be greedily eaten. They go down into the innermost chamber of the body to be remembered and mused upon." Wait a minute. Boy, that sounds familiar. Where have I heard that before? Oh, we just talked about it, didn't we? No, I didn't repeat the same scripture. This is Proverbs 26, 22, and it's the exact same words. It's the exact same scripture as Proverbs 18, verse 8. Apparently, God thought that this was so important, he said it twice in a matter of less than 10 chapters. It's the exact same thing. The whisperer, the gossip, it's like dainty morsels that we greedily eat, and it goes down to the innermost parts of the body to be brought back up again every time we want to enjoy it, to muse upon it. It's gross. God thinks it's gross. So that's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? We are a New Testament church, are we not? Right? We're New Testament people living in a New Testament church. What do you think the New Testament has to say about gossip? Well, we're going to look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 29. The Apostle Paul was writing, and he was describing, in this passage, he was describing unrighteous men. He was describing people who are not believers, people who aren't saved. And they can have some kind of nasty traits. So he's also talking about the subject of, does God overlook sin at all? Is there ever a time that God goes, well, that's okay, when it comes to sin? So Romans chapter 1 verse 29, kind of start in the middle of a sentence here. "Until they," the unrighteous men, "were filled, permeated, saturated with every kind of unrighteousness." Now I know that the punctuation in Greek is different than the punctuation in English, but I like to think that the translators were onto something here. So because there's like comma, 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 semicolon, I kind of read it this way: until they were filled, permeated, saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, every kind of wickedness, every kind of greed, every kind of evil, semicolon, full of envy, full of murder, full of strife, full of deceit, full of malice and mean-spiritedness. They are gossips spreading rumors. Is this a description of a bunch of different people? No. He's talking about the same people. And it sounds like these are awful people. Now, as men and women, we tend to classify sin, right? We look at some sins and say they're not as scary as some of these other sins. Like murder, for instance. Murder's like the big kahuna of sin, right? We look at murder and say that's like the ultimate, that's the apex of sindom, if I can say it that way. But, you know, lying, that's not as bad, like especially a little white lie, right? I'm not so sure God classifies these things the same way that we classify these things. Does God classify these things the same way we do? The King James uses the word whisperers. Now, we've heard that before in the Old Testament. We saw a lot of scriptures translated as whisperer. This is the Greek word, sithristes, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It means a whisperer, a secret slanderer, a detractor. And then it uses a big word I'm unfamiliar with. It says a secret calumniator. Is that how you pronounce that? I don't even know what calumniate means. So I looked it up. Calumniate means to make false and malicious statements about. In other words, this person makes stuff up. They make up mean stuff. Nasty stuff. This person is a mean-spirited liar. This is not somebody that we want to be. This sounds pretty nasty. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, this is Paul speaking. If you're quoting from the New Testament, you're going to quote from the Apostle Paul a lot. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 20, says, "For I am afraid," Paul speaking again, you've got to understand also that Corinth was kind of a melting pot of people and cultures and things like that. I think it was a port city, wasn't it? I think it was. So they had a lot of influence, a lot of influx from other cultures and other lands and other countries. So when people started getting saved, they began to try to bring into the church things that they practiced before. And many times Paul had to correct these things. He had to say, no, no, we don't do things this way. So Paul's saying, "For I'm afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you not to be as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish. That perhaps there may be strife." There's that word strife again. We don't put up with strife. "That perhaps there may be strife." Jealousy. There's one. Where does jealousy come from? Jealousy comes from pride. You know, Pastor was sharing with us a while back a whole series on covetousness. Right? Do you know how many times jealousy is used, like, as a joke? The way people look at it? So-and-so got a new car. Oh, man, that's a cool car. I am so jealous. Jealousy's disgusting, and God doesn't like it. Why would we joke about it? Why would we say, "Oh, I'm so jealous because somebody has something better than I have"? The Bible says we're supposed to rejoice with people who are rejoicing. We're supposed to weep with people who are weeping. If somebody has a bad time, we're supposed to put our arm around them and say, "Man, I am so sorry you're going through this. God pray for you." But if somebody's having a good time and they're blessed with something, we should say, "Good for you. That's awesome. I'm glad." Not, "Oh, I am so jealous." Jealousy is a bad, bad thing. There's a whole lineup here. "Perhaps there may be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slander." That word slander again. "Gossip, arrogance," there's pride again, "and disorder." Again, gossip is classified the same as all these other traits. King James translates this as the word whisperings. And this word is very similar to the word that we just covered. And you'll notice by looking at it, it's the Greek word sithrismos. And here's what it means. It means a whispering. A secret slandering of the magical murmuring of a charmer of snakes. There's a mental picture for you. So you're telling me that somebody who gossips is like a snake charmer? I don't know about you guys. I've never seen a real snake charmer. I've seen depictions on TV and cartoons. And so in my mind, when I think of a snake charmer, it looks like this. You've got a guy sitting on the ground cross-legged playing some sort of a flute, and the snake comes up out of the basket, and he's just kind of weaving like this, and he's mesmerized. He's under some kind of charm, some kind of spell, some kind of a trance-like state. And why does the snake charmer charm the snake? To get him to do whatever it is the snake charmer wants him to do. Why does a gossiper gossip? A lot of times, to manipulate people into doing what he wants them to do. We're talking about manipulation again, aren't we? This is not a good trait. You know, when we talk about somebody who's charming, when I say, "Oh, so-and-so's, they're so charming," what we mean is, "They're a nice guy. I like them. They're pretty cool. They're fun to hang around. They're a nice guy." Charm originally was a term about magic, to cast a spell on somebody, to charm them, cast a charm on them, to make them do something you want them to do. Like a snake charmer. Manipulate. Sometimes people manipulate through flattery. We talked about that. Sometimes they say, "Hey, would you want to help me out? You're so good at that. Oh my gosh, you are so good at that. Could you help me out?" They're trying to manipulate you into doing that. Now, that's not to say you should never compliment people. It's nice to compliment people sometimes. It's nice to say, "Hey, I appreciate what you did there. That was really good. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you did that." But don't use it to manipulate. Sometimes people manipulate through guilt. I don't know about you, but I've known a few people who use guilt to to manipulate. It kind of goes like this. I have a piano that I need to move. Tomorrow night, could you come help me move this piano? And then somebody says, oh, tomorrow night's bad for me, I can't. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I can probably handle it myself. I mean, I still have the back brace from the last time I did it. Threw my back out. I was in the hospital for like a week. Oh, man, that was painful. Cost me a fortune, too. But don't worry about it. I'm sure I can handle it myself. What's that? I'm trying to charm them, trying to manipulate them through guilt to help me out when I want them to help me out. Like, we've all probably seen people like this. This person is a snake charmer, so don't fall for it. And certainly don't be this kind of person. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 11. Women, women must likewise be worthy of respect, not malicious gossips, but self-controlled, thoroughly trustworthy in all things. Now, culturally, a lot of times we associate gossiping with women. Why is that? Well, we talked about last week, the original definition was actually not the word gossip, it was the word gossip, and it was a person who stepped in to represent a child. It was a godfather kind of a figure, and many times back in the day, when women were about to give birth, they would call their friends, their close friends, and their relatives together to witness the birth and help them out. And you know that babies don't always just come when you want them to. So what would they do while they're waiting? They would talk, usually about other people. So that's why a lot of times it's associated with women. But guess what, guys? I've seen a lot of guys gossip a lot more than women. It's not just the ladies. Guys can gossip just as bad. This is the King James word, slanderers. And this is a huge one, because if you look at the Greek word, this is the Greek word, diabolos. Anybody who has taken any kind of foreign language like Italian or Spanish or Latin, you might recognize this word, diabolos. The definition of this word is a devil, a false accuser, slanderer, metaphorically applied to a person who, by opposing the cause of God, may be said to act the part of the devil or to side with him. This is huge. This person is willingly, consciously, purposely opposing God. God calls women this, but men qualify too if they're gossiping. God calls people who act like this devils. It says women must likewise be worthy of respect, not malicious devils. Opposing sides again. You're either worthy of respect or you're a malicious devil. So if you gossip, if you act like this, you're not worthy of respect. That's not a good place to be. This is not who we want to be. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Oh good, I got a whole hour left. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. Now at the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go from house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, meddlers in things that do not concern them, talking about things they should not mention. They're talking about things, the gossip is talking about things that don't even concern them. Have you ever heard somebody gossiping about themselves? Doesn't usually happen. They're talking about somebody else. They're talking about things that do not concern them. One of the definitions from the Hebrew was talking about the personal and private affairs of other people. God says they should not even mention these things. King James translates this as the word tattlers. It's the Greek word phleros. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It means of persons uttering or doing silly things. Now, silly things sounds pretty innocent to me. Persons uttering or doing silly things, garrulous, excessively talkative in a rambling, roundabout manner, especially about trivial matters, babbling useless things, foolish things, trifling, and vain. Again, this gives us a picture of somebody who likes to stir up drama. But you know what else? If they're talking about silly things, excessively talkative in a rambling roundabout manner about trivial things, babbling useless things. You know what this sounds like? It sounds like somebody who just likes to talk. They're talking about nothing. Nothing important anyway. Trivial things. They're just talking to talk. I just talk to talk. Sometimes when you're in conversation with somebody, sometimes people dread that eventual lull that happens in every conversation. All of a sudden you kind of run out of things to talk about and they feel like, I got to fill the air. I'm just talking. I'm just a talker. That's just me. I'm just a talker. God warns about that. Don't be just a talker. Just to talk, just to fill the air, just to fill things in. Because you're going to end up talking about things that should not even be mentioned. This is not who we want to be. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. 2 Timothy 3 verse 3. And they will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection, calloused and inhumane, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, devoid of self-control, intemperate, immoral, brutal, haters of good. Look at the list of these things that describe someone who gossips. They are unloving, devoid of affection. You know what we call that in the psychology world? We call it a narcissist. Devoid of affection, calloused, inhumane, irreconcilable. You know, when you're dealing with other people, whether it be a friend or at a job situation or even in your marriage, compromise is part of life. This person is irreconcilable. No compromise. That's not a place we want to be. Irreconcilable. This also makes me think of forgiveness. Sometimes people do something that hurt. We're still supposed to forgive. But sometimes this person is irreconcilable. Does that mean we don't forgive them? No. We still forgive, because forgiveness happens in here, doesn't happen out here. Forgiveness happens in here. And if somebody comes to you and says, I am so sorry, will you please forgive me? That was stupid of me. It's easier to forgive, isn't it? Than when somebody says, I didn't do anything wrong. That makes it a little harder to forgive. But you're still supposed to forgive. You're still commanded to forgive. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you re-enter into a relationship with that person. Sometimes the best way to forgive is to remove that person from your life so that you can get about your forgiveness. Sometimes people are irreconcilable. To go on, incapable of harmony or compromise, malicious, devoid of self-control. What's self-control? We heard that in the Bible somewhere. I think that's a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control, devoid of self-control. This is somebody who cannot, will not, chooses not to have self-control. This sounds like a bad place to be. They're intemperate. They're unbridled in indulgences. Indulgences like what? They're brutal, haters of good. King James uses the word false accusers. Guess where that comes from? Who's the false accuser? The devil. Diabolos means devil, false accuser, slanderer, metaphorically applied to a person who, by opposing the cause of God, may be said to act the part of the devil or even to side with him. These are all traits shared by both the gossiper and the devil. This is not who we want to be. One more New Testament verse, Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. Older women, similarly, are to be reverent in their behavior. I'm not going to ask how many older women we have. Older women, similarly, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor addicted to much wine, teaching what is right and good. What does addicted to much wine mean? Why is that even in there? Does that mean that you can't have a glass of wine with your meal sometimes? No, that's not what that means. What that means is, gossiping is a trait of an addictive personality. Gossiping is habitual and can be addictive, just like alcohol can be addictive, just like drugs can be addictive. A lot of things can be addictive if you become habitual about them. What that also says to me is that gossiping can be difficult to stop. If you're a habitual gossiper, if you gossip a lot and you start to catch yourself, you look inward and you go, oh my gosh, Luke, what is wrong with you? You should stop that gossiping. It's going to be hard because it's habitual. It's become a way of life and it's addictive. The next time you open up to somebody and start to gossip and you catch yourself and you go, oh my gosh, I shouldn't do that. Stop cold in your tracks and say, no, I'm sorry I said that. Forget it. I'm trying to be better about this. Ask God to forgive you. Ask people to forgive you. Move on. But it's hard to stop. Does that mean it's impossible? No. Just like Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't know a lot about the organization, but if I understand it correctly, you have a sponsor, somebody that you're accountable to, somebody that can call you from time to time and say, hey, how you doing with that? Have you had a drink recently? Because he knows that that's a weakness of yours. Same thing with the habitual gossiper. It's not a bad idea to have somebody you're accountable to. It's not a bad idea to have somebody that you can go to and say, oh, I blew it. Help me to stop doing this. Or somebody who can call you on the phone or next time they see you say, you're working on that, right? You're defeating that, right? Just to stay on top of things. It's habitual. Gossiping can be difficult to stop, but it doesn't mean that it's impossible to stop. But this is not somebody that we want to be. So, we've gotten through the entire Bible, all these references of the word gossip in the Old and the New Testament. So, that brings up the question to me. First of all, God thinks this is a huge deal, so we should be studying it out. But the question that I came across is there any such thing as innocent gossip? Is there such a thing as innocent gossip? Have you ever heard people say things like this? Say things, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. I've heard that. And logically it sounds stupid, but people say it all the time. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. You know, people have a right to know. I'm just sharing. I'm just sharing. I'm not gossiping. I'm just sharing. Or I'm just venting. I just got to vent. Or how about this? I just want you to know how to pray, brother. These things sound innocent, even righteous. But how do these things look to God? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6. I'm trying to boogie along here. My watch says take a minute to breathe. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things the Lord hates, indeed seven, are repulsive to him. I don't know about you, but if I come across a scripture that says these six things God hates, he's got my attention. And if he says seven things are repulsive to him, oh boy, has he got my attention. Let's go back to grade school science again. Do you remember where in grade school science, the teacher would give you two magnets? And you start moving one closer and closer, and it gets a little bit closer, and all of a sudden, it snaps to it, just boom, just comes across the table, and they slam together. That's how I want my relationship with God to be. I want to be trying to get closer to him, and the closer I get to him, the closer he gets to me. But if you take that magnet and you reverse the poles, you're reversing the polarity of the neutron flow, you're reversing that polarity, and all of a sudden, the magnets don't attract. They repulse each other, right? You get that magnet closer and it starts moving farther away and you can't catch up to it. You can't get that magnet so close that they'll touch because it keeps pushing the other one away. That's not how I want my relationship with God to be. I don't want to do things that cause God to be repulsed. And I go, God, come back here. God, come here. No, God, come here. And he keeps getting farther and farther away the closer I get. I don't want that. So I'm going to read through these things with open eyes and an honest heart and see what six things God hates, what seven things are repulsive to him. It says, verse 17, a proud look, the attitude that makes one overestimate oneself and discount others, a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that creates wicked plans, feet that run swiftly to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, even half-truths, and one who spreads discord or rumors among brothers. God hates these six things. Seven are repulsive to him. So let's look at them one by one. A proud look. A proud look is an attitude that makes me overestimate myself and discount others. How often does this drive God away? How often does this drive people away? What happens if somebody comes into our church and we repulse them? that's not a good thing. How are we going to introduce people to God if we can't get people around us because they're repulsed by us? You know what we call this today? We call this attitude holier than thou. We've all heard that phrase. I've had people describe me that way. You have a holier than thou attitude because you kind of go around with your nose in the air. I don't think they're right, by the way. But you go around with your nose in the air and say, what are you doing coming into my church? You don't belong here. We don't actually say that to people, but sometimes that's our attitude. You come from the wrong side of the tracks. Do you see that shirt he's wearing today? Glad they're not coming to church here. I'm going to get rid of them. Or I know their reputation. I've seen them around town, and I know their reputation. They don't belong here. That kind of attitude of, I'm better. Again, do we clean the fish before we catch it? But that kind of attitude of, I'm better. That's not a good attitude to have. A proud look. Number two is a lying tongue. A lying tongue. Well, I think most of us would agree that lying is bad. But what about little white lies? You know, when we talk about lying and kids alive, a lot of times I say, well, what about little white lies? And a lot of kids will go, well, yeah, that's okay. Did you know there's no such thing as a little lie? And there's no such thing as a white lie? All lies are big. All lies are black. All lies are from the pit of hell. This is not who I want to be. I want to attract God, not repulse him. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. Well, I think this one's pretty obvious. Hands that shed innocent blood. You don't go around killing people, right? Especially innocent people. Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. You know who's speaking here? This is Jesus. Jesus said, you've heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be guilty before the court. But I say to you that everyone who continues to be angry with his brother or harbors malice against him shall be guilty before the court, and whoever speaks contemptuously and insulting to his brother, Raca, you empty-headed idiot, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin, and whoever says you fool shall be in danger of the fiery hell. Wow. How many times did Jesus say, you empty-headed idiot? Not a lot. I think this is the only scripture that I've seen. 1 John chapter 3. Jesus thought this was a pretty serious thing. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15 says, everyone who hates or works against his brother in Christ is at heart a murderer by God's standards. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. It makes you think, doesn't it? Hands that shed innocent blood, we go, oh, that's a big one because that's murder. But you know what? God sees hatred the same way. If you harbor malice against someone, if you're holding a grudge against somebody, that's not a good place to be. That's not who you want to be. Number four, a heart that creates wicked plans. Who is this person that creates wicked plans? Creates. They don't find wicked plans. They create them. This is the same Hebrew word that we used to describe the gossip. The Hebrew word is aven. It means trouble, iniquity, sorrow, idolatry, and wickedness. In other words, we're talking about gossiping again. God hates gossiping, and it repulses him. I don't want to repulse God. I want God to get closer to me. Number five, feet that run swiftly to evil. You know what that means? That means feet that run swiftly to evil. Whew, that was deep theological study there. We don't want to be that person either, do we? Number six, a false witness who breathes out lies. And we're on number six. Remember, six things God hates. Seven, repulse him. Number six is a false witness who breathes out lies, even half-truths, the Amplified says. Even little white lies? Yep. Oh, wait a minute. We already talked about little white lies, didn't we? It seems like God hates lying so much that he had to mention this twice in this scripture just to make sure we understood what he's talking about. That was number six. Are you ready for the big one? Are you ready for number seven? Give me a drum roll. Number 7. And one who spreads discord or rumors among brothers. Who does this sound like? It sounds like a gossiper. One who spreads discord. Discord. That's not a word we use a lot today. What does that word discord mean? That word discord is the Hebrew word medan. I don't know how to say it. Medan? Medan? It literally means strife or contention. We saw about strife a lot last week, and we saw a little bit about it this week. Strife. Anyone who spreads strife among brothers, who's the brothers? We are. We're talking about people who are saved, people who are in the church. This repulses God, stirring up trouble in a church. You know, I recently heard Joyce Meyer say this. I don't know if you like Joyce Meyer. I think she's awesome. I recently heard Joyce Meyer say, it takes only one person to take down an entire church. That's a bold statement. Because they go around to these different pockets and they stir up drama over here. They stir up drama over here. They stir up drama over here. They cause problems. They stir up strife, discord, contention on purpose. This repulses God. This word contention, this scripture uses the word discord, which means contention. And if we go back to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20, remember it says, for lack of wood, fire goes out, and when there's no whisperer who gossips, contention quiets down. Remove the gossiper, you're removing this discord among brothers. And now I am done. We're talking about gossiping. How many of these scriptures here in this section says 6 things God hates, 7 things are repulsive to him? How many of those have elements of gossiping in them? I'll tell you because I counted. 7 things repulse God. 2 of them describe lying. 2 of them describe gossiping. And gossiping nearly always involves lying. That's 57%. I can do math. That's a lot. I think that this is a big deal. And unfortunately, we all come from, well, I say we all, I don't know about all of you, but I come from a small town. Small town, small church. A lot of times gossip tends to flow and we go, what's the big deal? God's over there going, don't repulse me. Don't drive me away. I'm trying to be a part of your church. I'm trying to be a part of your life. I'm trying to be part of this town and this area. Are we really an area church, a spiritual church? A place where money flows? A place where people are loved well? We need to be paying attention to these things. Amen. So let's pray.